Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are at the end of the first full week of November, the seventh day of November 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go for the stream. That's where you go for the Listen Live page. That's where you go for the pop-out player. That's where you go for the podcast archives. You can also always go to WhiteRoseSociety.org under the subdomain for Bob Kincaid for those as well. Because, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, access to the always engaging, always enjoyable, always merry and cheerful Horn chat room. And folks are already wandering in this evening. Good evening, HZ. Good evening, Lance Rocks. Good evening, Art Kellison. Good evening, Texas T. And, of course, good evening to longtime veteran, indefatigable Horn chat room moderator, Sparky. Stand by a minute. I'll be right back. Sorry, gang. Taking a call from the doctor's office. Be right with you. All right. Just as I was beginning the program, the phone rang here. I picked it up. It was the doctor's office. And they delivered me some news that I don't know what it is, but it's got me scared half out of my mind. And I'm not being a diva here, and God knows we need to get a program in. But I'm kind of not in a... I'm not in a headspace right now that feels like I can very capably do a program. And but you know, we're all friends, we're all a community here. Let me tell you what just went down. And I'm kind of a wreck because, you know, doctors scare the hell out of me anyway. You know, yesterday was an odyssey of getting the boss, Agnes, to a doctor and back. And this past Monday, I had an MRI on my neck. And I didn't think any further about it. So here's what here's what doctor's offices do to you. It was 6:03 on Friday evening. And I took the call because I saw it was coming from the doctor's office. And here's what they said to me. And calling it a doctor's office is kind of a joke in the first place because you never see a doctor. But it said, call patient, tell patient he has abnormal MRI. Refer patient to neurosurgeon. And, of course, she didn't have the report of the MRI in front of her. I said, can I come down and get a copy? Oh, no, we're closing. I said, can you email me a copy, fax me a copy? Oh, no, I'm not allowed to do that. So on Friday evening at 6:03 p.m., a physician's office calls me, tells me essentially, hey, we got some terrible news for you. We'll tell you Monday. And so, you know, I'm not gonna kid you. Can I say the happy word real quick? I'm freaked the fuck out. And everything that I had in my head for doing a program this evening is gone. And to be honest, well, thank you, Horst. Horst in the chat room says, I don't blame you for not in the mood for this today. It's not really a matter of mood. I mean, it's just my head, the space that my head was in is just shot. I tell you what, if you guys want to hang around for a few minutes, I'm going to take a little break. You know, and I did everything. I begged. I said, please, for the love of Christ, call the goddamn thing up and read it to me. I have a doctoral level education. There is not a medical word you can read to me that I will not comprehend. No, we're not allowed to do that because you've got an appointment Monday. Well, thank you, Jan and Jerry. I appreciate it. She's Bob, chill. You can't spend the entire weekend a mess. The doctor's office the not a doctor's office just took care of that. Well, no. They did. That's the whole thing, Michael in the chat room noting. It's a good thing they're sticklers for the rules. That means not horribly serious, or they wouldn't have waited. Well, they did wait. It hadn't been read as of Wednesday. I had it done Monday. It hadn't been read as of Wednesday. It hadn't been read as of yesterday. But I'm in a really foul temper right now. And the not-a-doctor that I see is going to be the recipient of it. You don't do this to people. It is not you don't do this to me. It is you do not do this to people. You want me to come in? I'll come in. But right now, I have to go. I gotta go and tell Agnes what's going on, because I'm fit to be tied, and maybe she'll calm me down a little bit. See, the mere mention of the word surgeon flips me out. And, I mean, I never had it. I've never had surgery. Okay, 4 years old, I had my tonsils out. So, you know, I'll be back, I think, but I need to get my head in a decent space. Thank you, Jim. Jim says by email, just try to calm down, best wishes, and it does not mean all bad. The worst thing is, she wouldn't even tell me what was abnormal. Okay, you know, it's funny when Dr. Frankenstein looks at Igor and says, whose brain did we put in the creature? And he says, Abby. Abby who? Abby normal? So stand by while I go talk to Agnes and kind of get my flip out past. I'll be back. No music. Now see, after only a few minutes with Dr. Agnes, the calmer of all souls, I'm all better now. Among other things, I found my sense of humor.
Can you believe it? There's nothing wrong with me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
What? Oh, my God, what? Is it meningitis? Scoliosis? Lupus? Is it lupus?
I always think of that scene with George and... Is it lupus? Well, apparently it ain't lupus.
Don't be twisted, dear.
Well, I mean, as long as it's not lupus. I mean, yes, dear.
It'll be all right.
You have to talk into the microphone, dear.
Oh, you're still giving me grief.
Well, it's only if you want to be heard through the microphone.
Well, it's hard because you're hogging it.
Thank you, Carol Baker. In my best Arnold. It's not a tumor. Jesus. What a night. Interestingly, just before airtime, Kate had written in from out on the front range and said, are you on the porch tonight? If so, I'll meet you there. But the subject line was, is everything okay?
Hi, Kate. I love you.
And then we found out. Jesus! Darlene with an email, subject line, pathetic. This poor excuse for a doctor's office needs to be read the riot act. What they did was incredibly unprofessional. They need to be called out on it, Bob, when you speak to them on Monday. You mean when I scream to them? Because that's the, I can take anything, but not that way. Dan writes in and says, subject line, your health. Bob, I know what you mean about being upset about medical misinformation. It's easy for me to say here a long way from you, but I wouldn't worry about this too much. If it was really serious, they would admit you to a hospital, or they would be arranging for some prompt coverage. They probably want you seen by a neurologist. No, they said neurosurgeon, just to cover themselves in case there's an anomaly. Please try not to get too concerned. You can deal with this next week.
There'll be 12 weeks more of physical therapy, is what there'll be.
No, there will not be. No. Ay. The neurosurgeon is the same guy I'm seeing who... that I'll be seeing is the same guy who did my father's endarterectomy. A couple of weeks after that, a little piece of crap broke off and he had a stroke. My dad did. He survived it! Ron and Raleigh with an interpretation. Hey, where'd you go, boss? It's cold back here. She doesn't like being cold. Ron and Raleigh says, here's the reason. The reason your MRI wasn't read on Monday just after it done is because they had to send it halfway around the world so some dude named VJ in Bangalore making $2 an hour could read it. This country is in deep Bantapudu, as Jabba the Hutt said to Luke Skywalker. God, warn a fella! I'm reading these things cold. This country is in deep Bantapudu, as Jabba the Hutt said to Luke Skywalker. I've got my fingers crossed that someone just spilled some curry on the image. Oh, God. Thanks, Ron. I think. Timothy says, hey, Bob, I'm sorry to learn you're in this state of mind. My dad's a nephrologist. He thinks it's ridiculous that the doc wouldn't personally call you about an abnormal lab. I wish you plenty of woo-saw this weekend. Thank you very kindly, Timothy. The problem, well, that's part of the problem. There's no doctor. When I go Monday, I will not see a doctor. I will not see a physician. I'll see what we refer to as a not-a-doctor. Not an osteopath. Not, licensed as a physician by any medical board. Not even Rand Paul's and the president of his board, which happens to be that thing on his head. Thank you. Thank you, Angry. The angry Indian being a source of calm and reason. of which I am in short supply and grateful for. He says, just chill until you hear what it's really about. See, I'm a type A personality. Yeah, see, I'd like to believe that, Jim. Jim says, and you will survive this too. Medical procedure would have had the MD on the phone, not a nurse. There's no MD down there, Jim. And the not a doctor was too busy and in too much of a hurry to get out the door. And no, she would not have picked up the phone. She's not that good. She just passed it downhill to you know, somebody down the line. Well, a little difficult to do, but I'll ask. Marty says, please send Dr. Agnes here to California. I either need medicine or medication. So there we are. Thank you. By the way, before I flip the out, and generally I wouldn't flip out. I guess I apologize for all of this, and I'm not trying to drum up any drama. Because Lord knows there's enough of it out there for all of us. But it was the sort of, yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you there's something wrong, but I'm not going to tell you what's wrong. I mean, what the is wrong with the medical profession that is the standard operating procedure? This notion of why don't you stew on this for a weekend and then pop by is brutal and inhumane. But I did want to send out some thanks, because even though, and you know, the irony is that I missed last night's program because we were on the way back from Agnes's doctor appointment in Charleston. And there's nothing quite like hanging around in a medical office for an afternoon. It was high enough up, you know, four floors up, we could see a really neat weather front blow in from the east, and weather fronts very seldom blow in from the east, but yeah, that was fascinating. Roared right down the New River Gorge and down the Kanawha Valley. The wrong way. No, thank you very kindly to Gary and to Roger and to Kevin. Kevin, by subscription, thank you. Even though I was absent last night, that made it possible, or made it such that this evening we did not find ourselves in a gigantic, whopping big hole, which is fairly important. And thank you then afterwards to Matt for getting us a big jump start on this evening so that the remainder of this Friday on the front porch is just $75 to finish off fundraising to the good, to the okay. So thank you very kindly, Matt. Thank you most kindly. It makes things considerably simpler. Note coming in from Sergi. Kernel of popcorn in the chute. I'm holding out hope that things turn out for you like they did for Michael in that episode of My Wife and Kids where he had to have a colonoscopy. They thought he had a tumor growing inside his exit pipe, but in the end it turned out to just be a kernel of popcorn that got caught up. Signed, Sergi, chocolate-flavored kettle corn, Kyle. it's impossible to be too freaked out with you guys around. See, this is why we call this a community, and y'all are not an audience. This is a dialogue. Audiences only listen; they don't talk back. This is the Horn Family Commune Congregation. Ay, ay, ay. Another note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Subject line: because. It's because we have the best healthcare system in the world. Yeah, kidding. And to be fair, I wouldn't even have this if it were not for Obamacare. That is just a fact. I would not have had the MRI. I wouldn't have had the physical therapy. It kind of makes sense now that I have massive headaches almost every day of my existence. Is it lupus? We'll get through this. And you know, besides that, it's Friday on the front porch. What better time to do? And you know, let's have this be some sort of teachable moment or learnable moment or something. Is there a better way, I ask the medical community and people who have practiced therein, is there a better way to do this, really? I mean, we've got a hint that there is via Tim's dad, who is an actual MD. And this, because this sort of intuitive deduction by which one tells oneself that it's no big deal because they were willing to call you at 6 o'clock on Friday and tell you to wait until Monday to find out the answer. I mean, cliffhangers are great at the end of television seasons, but it's not so much fun to... The cliffhanger to The Nick on Cinemax? Whoa! Who shot JR? That, okay. But it's not much of a way to live a life. Especially if one... I mean, you know me. I'm so high-strung, I don't do caffeine because... I think there's probably one example in all the archives of this program of me on caffeine. And it happened early in the program. Bless her heart, Agnes, and I mean that sincerely, that's not the bless her heart. No, that's not that one. But I was getting ready to do the program. She was still producing. I was over in the other chair. And I have I love root beer. So earlier in the day, she had gone to the grocery store. And I had said, honey, will you pick me up some root beer? Sure. So she brings me back Barq's, Barq's. And at the beginning of the program, I have my little rituals that I go through. I like to have a bottle of water. Or a container of water, what have you, and a thing of juice or pop. And this is back before we got the diabetes diagnosis and all of that stuff. And one of my preferences is, and this is back before I knew about the existence of Mexican Coke. And so I'd said root beer, and she brought me back root beer, and it was Barq's, Barq's. And so I was sitting there in the chair doing the program and began sipping on my Barq's and then began feeling kind of not all right. Kind of jittery. Kind of jacked up. Kind of Jack Palance. Kind of Jack Nicholson. Here's Bobby. And Agnes is looking at me and, you know, muting the mic. Are you okay? No. And then I spun the can around. Barq's is the only root beer out there that has caffeine in it. Oy. And so I spent the rest of the evening trying to come down off of an ugly caffeine buzz. Suffice to say, I've never been very particularly good at cocaine. But that's out, and so... But it is Friday on the front porch. And I'll make it to Monday. I don't think I'm going to be very nice when I walk into the not a doctor's office on Monday morning or afternoon or whenever the hell it is. Not because I enjoy being mean to people, but because I rather resent it when people are inhumane to other people. And that was pretty freaking inhumane, what I just went through about 39 minutes ago. Let's see, other emails coming in. Robert in Australia with a note. Subject line, don't panic. Trying. Letting go now, letting go now. I'm going to my happy place. I'm finding my bliss. Oh, that tickles. Robert in Australia says, I shall relate my recent adventures. I was having a sore feeling in my chest that felt like a sore throat when exercising at my local communist socialist pool. I informed my GP at one of my regular visits. I was sent for some tests. I was pumped full of radioactive dye. I was booked into a local hospital on August 3rd to have it checked. I had a 90% blockage of one artery around my heart, a 70% blockage of another, and a 60% blockage of a third. The surgeon immediately put in a stent to fix the 90% blockage. This was done by running a wire through a vein in my wrist up to my heart and opening the stent with a tiny, tiny balloon. Pretty cool stuff. On September 15th, I went back and had the 70% blockage fixed. I had a following radioactive dye test and have been given the okay. No superpowers yet, though. I'll have a follow-up checkup next year, and in the meantime, I'm on so many drugs it takes me 10 minutes to take them all in the morning. On not a decent high from any of them. So relax and take it easy. What happens, happens. I'm sure it'll be fine. As has been said, if it was urgent, you'd be in hospital already. Oh, maybe in Australia, Robert. This is Merca. With the, wait. Best medical system in the world. I don't know. Beyond Robert, any input from the rest of the international horn community? Do they do that to you at 2 minutes past six on a Friday evening in other countries?
Good evening. This is your physician's office. We were just calling to let you know that we know something about your state of your health care that will be quite frightening to you, and so we wanted to call and frighten you very well and tell you that we are not going to tell you anything about it until Monday. Dankeschön. Tschüss.
No, the call was not to confirm the Monday appointment, Michael. The call was to tell me that I have an abnormal MRI of your neck, and you need to see a neurosurgeon. That was the point of the call. I'd scheduled the follow-up appointment on Monday. That's why this was a little bit freaky. Because anybody could have looked. I mean, does this come with the freight of? By the way, don't move your neck too fast. It feels like my neck is burning a little bit more than it was before, and my head's hurting a little bit more than it was before. And pretty soon, by the time I'm done with myself, I'll be in the middle of a goddamned Edgar Allan Poe short story, okay? The Telltale Neck. Is it lupus? No, I called on Wednesday because I had not. Well, okay, so I got out of the tube, and no, I did not fart in the MRI. That's a delightful little piece that's been making the rounds lately. I found it both via Devin and by Carol. No, I was just sitting there in all my claustrophobic glory in the MRI machine, kind of wishing I was. Somewhat slightly altered so I can enjoy all the cool news, all the cool noises. Newses? Yeah, I'm in good shape. All the cool noises. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Texas Betsy. Texas Betsy says, I can't imagine any of my doctors doing that to me, or any of Lucas's doctors either. See, I got to go over this again and again and again, I suppose. Lottie pointing out in the chat room, sounds like there wasn't a doctor in the office when they called you, and they were just letting you know that they found something, but only a doctor can tell you what it is. Let me go through this again. If I go to an appointment in that office 100 times, 100 times I will not see a physician. There are no physicians there. There are no osteopaths. There are no MDs. There are no PhDs. There are no JDs. There are no EDDs. There are no Ds. They have not a doctors. They have nurse practitioners and physician's assistants. And when you get a prescription written, it's written by a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. We do not have doctors. So there was no doctor to call me. When I go Monday, the not a doctor will tell me whatever it is. And on Monday, if I say, give me a copy of the goddamn report, they will. So, there we go. What a lovely evening. Yeah, thank you, Robert, in Morgantown. Best medical system in the world? Supreme Court's about to take care of that. That's today's news. Yeah, that is today's news. The Supreme Court has decided to hear the split of opinion in the circuits as to whether or not states that are not, I got to make sure I say this correctly. Oh, hey, wait, I missed one. Breaking news, U.S. to send 1,500 more troops to Iraq. Thank God we're not at war in Iraq anymore. There it is. The Supreme Court, this according to the New York Times, the Supreme Court on Friday agreed to hear a new challenge to the Affordable Care Act. As is their custom, the justices gave no reasons. Because they don't gotta. They got a lifetime job. What a gig. The move imperils President Obama's signature legislative achievement 2 years after it survived an earlier Supreme Court challenge by a single vote. The case, King versus Burwell, concerns tax subsidies that are central to the operation of the health care law. According to the challengers, those subsidies are not available in the states that have decided not to run the marketplaces for insurance coverage known as exchanges. Under the law, the federal government has stepped in to run exchanges in those states. You know, see, this is so much BS. Because, for instance, using my own state of West Virginia as an example, we took a blue $1 million in a big bucket in order to research setting up our own exchange under the Affordable Care Act, the West Virginia Exchange, just as Kentucky has its own exchange. And we then, having taken the money and gone, I don't know what Earl Ray Tomlin did with it. Maybe it was Joe Manchin. Maybe he gave that to Verizon, too. But at any rate, we took the money and we studied setting up our own exchange and then said, we can't do it. We're hillbillies. We'll be in the federal exchange instead, okay? So what these right-wing freaks are saying is that because West Virginia took the money but didn't set up an exchange, that federal subsidies for the Affordable Care Act can't apply. And there are a lot of states that decided to buy into the federal exchange. Because don't let them kid you. The Repiglicans still want to destroy the health care system and the Affordable Care Act by any means necessary. It looks like they have been reading a little Malcolm X. By any means necessary. They don't care who they kill. They don't care who they harm. They don't care who they poison. They don't care who gets neglected to death. They do not care. There's some moments that I think that lawyers for the administration should just walk into the Supreme Court and say, are you kidding me? You decided to hear this? What is wrong with you? And then just say, go ahead. See, this is where our job comes in. This is our obligation. You know that little buffer zone rule around the Supreme Court? No, I'm not advocating violence. I'm nonviolent. I'm almost a pacifist. But if you got about a million people, sooner or later the buffer zone around the Supreme Court would get violated, and then they'd probably have to revisit the sweet Granny McCracken, release the McCracken rule from Massachusetts anyway. Just let the government, the Department of Justice lawyer, Solicitor General, whatever. Hey, you nine. I'm going to get out of the way here. We're going to open the doors, and you can tell the million people out there that federal subsidies can't be used to pay for their health care under the Affordable Care Act. Where do you want us to bury whatever's left of you? Right? I think we ought to have a hashtag out there. Maybe it already exists. A hashtag out there. OMDB. OMDB. Not IMDB. OMDB. Over my dead body. Because that's the kind of attitude we need to adopt. And I think many of us already have. You know, as I've said in the sort of breakdown of the the election results on Wednesday, we didn't do anything wrong in this election. Progressive people, liberal people, didn't get anything wrong. The Democratic Party got a lot wrong. And on a state level, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee supported the wrong people. Did that wonderful progressive woman in Maine ever get so much as a dime from the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee? We keep running these Republican-light mugwumps who won't stand up and fight back, who are scared to goddamn death of the teabaggers. Because see, what I suggested with the Supreme Court a moment ago, the teabaggers did a long time ago. The teabaggers came with their misspelled posters, and they held up signs that said, remember when it was Scott Brown, and Scott Brown was supposed to save America from socialized medicine, and they brought a sign that says, if Brown can't do it, Browning can, being a direct reference to the Browning Arms Company of Belgium. And the Browning automatic rifle, and the Browning shotgun, the Browning the Browning rifle, and the Browning pistol, and the Browning this, and the Or the sign that said, "We came unarmed." I'm sure they misspelled that too. This time, so that all the sad, pathetic little Democrats running for the mugwumps, the blue dogs, the Republican lights, wanted to make sure they didn't piss off the teabaggers because they're afraid the teabaggers will kill their ass. On the other hand, none of them are the least bit afraid of us. Because you know what image they have of us? The image they have of us is that if they screw us over, we'll have a consensus-based meeting to make a decision about when to have a luncheon to determine if we should, in fact, have a retreat, emphasis on the word retreat, to determine whether or not to have another meeting to set a date, to set a time, to eventually consider why the teabaggers are so goddamn mean and whether we should pray for them or wonder about the quality of their chakras. Jack in Shreveport pointing out that the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has decided to pull the ad money it had promised to Mary Landrieu's campaign. Meanwhile, there are ads for her opponent every 5 minutes for the runoff.
Idiots,
says Jack. And by the way, let's go back to Robert in Australia for a moment. When I see my doctor, I see my doctor, my GP, who I've had for 20 years. I don't see an assistant or nurse or helper. We don't have that sort of thing at the doctor's office in Oz. That sounds like a stupid system. Well, it's American. It's the best system in the world, Robert. And if my doctor wants to talk to me, she calls me and talks to me. By the way, did I mention that my 2 days and nights in hospital were done completely on Medicare? I signed my name, and that was it. Yeah, nice, huh? Shucks, in some countries, if you expend money getting to and from, they give you the transportation money. I wonder if in Cuba they call you at 6:02 on Friday night to tell you that something really frightening so that you can sit and ruminate on it for the next 2 days. Well, 2.5. Oh, well. And by the way, a note coming from Matt. I mentioned Matt's help in raising the funds this evening. And Matt says, I wanted to make this a challenge, but I wasn't sure how to do it. The Horn community, I would simply challenge the Horn community to match a contribution from a San Francisco queer who drives an electric car, is in a same-gender marriage, to an undocumented immigrant. In other words, the guy responsible for the downfall of American society and the physical embodiment of everything that drives right-wingers crazy. That sounds lovely. So I hope people will contribute and match Matt's contribution. It would put us right where we need to be anyway, because we're $80 out and being $20 more is not terrible. But good God Almighty, what do we name that, Matt? Match a contribution from a San Francisco queer who drives an electric car is in a same-gender marriage to an undocumented immigrant. In other words, the guy responsible for the downfall of American society and the physical embodiment of everything that drives right-wingers crazy. I got it. We'll call it Matt's Drive Right-Wingers Crazy Challenge. So there it is. 10 at 10, 20 at 5, 2 at 50, 3 at $33.33, 4 at 25, 8 at 12.50. Enough options? 1 at 100! It's the Drive a Right-Winger Crazy Challenge via Matt in the Bay Area. Thank you, Matt. Thank you very kindly. Be right there. Dadgummit. There it is. I just wanted to, we got to have a bumper here. We're coming up on the end of the filibobster. And having referenced it seemed appropriate to. Use this. So it is Friday on the front porch. Let us review the access to Friday on the front porch instructions. If you have never participated in Friday on the front porch, it is driven largely by the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. The longtime moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group is our good and able and indefatigable chat room moderator, Sparky. If you've never been in the group but you would like to be, jump in to send a contact request to SparkyDunk, SparkyDunc, at Skype. And I neglected the fact, and I apologize for this, we have Lance on the Skype line right now. Are you there, Lance?
Yes, I'm a Skype virgin, Bob.
I think you'll survive nicely.
Treat me gentle.
Okay, I will.
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Bill Stress. You know, I had my stroke in 02, and the doctor said I was part of the lucky 10%. So I'm so glad he made it through and that he can still talk to us here on the horn.
As am I, indeed. Thank you for the kind words, Lance. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, was that all there was?
Oh, this isn't AM, is it?
yeah, that's enough about you. Let's talk about me. Yeah, you don't get to just call in and say mega dittos from Busted Knuckle Rush. I just love you and want to have your babies. You don't get to do that.
That's what okay. I want to mention Bluegrass Underground, which I saw on PBS last week.
Okay.
And it takes place in Cumberland Caverns in McMinnville, Tennessee.
Oh, nice.
And I saw Keller Williams performing with the Dale McCoury Band, and it was just great.
Oh, that sounds nice. I'd like to see that.
Can I tell you my bluegrass story, and that's about it for my material?
Okay, absolutely.
Thanks a lot. So I was like 17, and I went to the family Christmas, meaning three or four families, and all LDS, which means Mormon.
Yes.
And so all the kids are there, everything, and my uncle, I've forgotten his name, he was my uncle, he was married to my dad's sister, he gave me this big, beautiful album, LP, Dion and the Greenbrier Boys.
Okay.
And he was so pleased with his gift, and I think it's because it wasn't rock and roll, because I was 17, it was 1965 or something.
Wasn't any of that devil music.
Exactly. So he's so proud, he puts the record on to play, drops on the needle, and he hit a tune called Giving Everything Away. It says, I got a gal, lives on a farm, she got corn in the crib, hay in the barn. This old gal lives way down south, she got plenty of meat, Lord, in her smokehouse. She didn't sell it, she just liked to give it away.
and how many shades of purple did the donor...
Oh, man, it was great. I mean, he just lit up. You know, all the little kids were there. And the song went on. He let it go on.
And this was a couple of years before The Who released Squeezebox.
Exactly, you know. And ever since then, I have just loved bluegrass. I'm not a big country western fan, but bluegrass touches my heart every time.
Oh, I love it too. I love it, and Ferg is a huge fan. I play a little Del McCurry every now and then in the breaks. I fell in love with an album of theirs. Del and the Del McCurry Band. They released one a few years ago called Moneyland that is absolute genius.
Oh.
It's and particularly the title track. I mean, it is a blanket condemnation of the right-wing greed that infects our country.
Mm.
So
I'll look them up on iTunes.
Absolutely do. I think that's where I got it.
Moneyland.
Yeah, Moneyland, the Del McCurry Band.
And
it's got the nice thing is it has interspersed among the songs clips from FDR.
Ah.
Yeah.
I enjoy those.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Well, Lance, it's awfully good to hear from you.
And thanks
see,
for talking to
now,
me.
Now, I mean, are you going to have to head over to the Lindsey Graham Memorial fainting couch now that you have?
You know, I promised my partner Lori, she's back from a family event. I promised we'd walk down at the bay at 4:30. So
okay,
that's my time, which is about 20 minutes from now. So I'm going to listen for 20 minutes and bail.
All right, sounds good. Have a great weekend, Lance.
Thank you, Bob. Adios.
Bye now. And see, you too can survive your first call to the horn or your first participation in the Horn Molloy Skype chat group. It's just that easy. Let's see. We've got a caller on the Gizmo line, so it's time to, I presume that Sparky has already sent out the bat signal for the Horn Molloy Skype chat group for Friday on the Front Porch, so we will take a break and see who wanders by. And yes, I agree with Carol Baker, Lance. Call in more often. It was wonderful to hear from you. And if you've never called, don't be afraid. Do you know that old statistic that from that survey they did a million years ago asking people about their greatest fears in life? Death was number 5. The dentist was like 3. Speaking in public was 1. Yeah, this is the place to put that all away. This is just a conversation among friends. That's why this is so far removed from actual commercial radio. And, yes, again, Matt has his Drive a Right-Winger Crazy Challenge on the table, looking for 10 folks at 10 or 5 at 20, et cetera, to match the $100 that he put down to take care of the program this evening. Much, much appreciated if you will do it. The interface for PayPal is at headonradionetwork.com. And the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318 Beckley, BECKLEYWV, 25801. And remember, checks and money orders should be made payable to The Horn or Head-On Communications, not to Bob Kincaid. Okie doke. Wonderful. So we will take a break and give Sparky a chance to fire up the Friday on the Front Porch Skype chat group, and we'll get right after everything right after that. And yes, this is exactly what I was thinking of while the MRI machine was cranking out my abnormal MRI. Amazing that this was made long before MRIs even existed. I'm feeling better already. Your MRI is done now. And I never gave it a second thought, and we'll find out Monday what that means. Oh, well. This is the horn. It is 15 minutes past the hour. This is, of course, Friday on the front porch for the 7th day of November, 2014. And let us stop the shilly-shallying about, not that we were doing much shilly-shallying, really, and check out the Horn Skype chat group. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob.
How in the world are you?
I am doing fine, except for a sore knee, but wonderful weather this weekend. We're going to have a yard sale, so...
Oh, sounds fun.
Maybe I'll have some spare change to send you.
I won't lie, that would be wonderful. Get out in front of next week. Because, you know, by Monday evening, I may be a blubbering, blithering mass of panic. I hope not.
I don't know. I had the MRI treatment once upon a time, and then I had back surgery. I know I wasn't too thrilled about going in for back surgery, but it all came out good.
Yeah, hey, maybe there won't even be any surgery necessary, but who knows? But I think it was just the circumstances that flipped me out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was handled atrociously. Yeah, hey, I'm on the way out the door, but there's something bad wrong with your neck. Talk to you later. See you Monday. Click. Only I didn't let her click. And I have a feeling I'm going to go in with a very bad attitude on Monday.
They should have just said, we have the results of your MRI. Can you come in for a follow-up?
Well, yeah, but I'd set that up on Wednesday.
So you were going in anyway?
Yeah. I already had the appointment.
Why did they bother to call?
Because the not a doctor wrote a note saying, call patient, not even call Bob, you know. Call patient, tell him he has abnormal MRI, needs to be referred to neurosurgeon. Thanks, not a doctor. And, you know, it just seems like a shabby way to run a railroad to me. But then again, it's the American healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
So go figure.
So at least I got over my blahs from Tuesday.
Yay. And this evening we also have Horst with us. Hey, Horst.
He may be away from it.
No, I'm here. I just made it back.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I've kind of taken
no,
all those...
No major scares this morning. I can't complain in that respect.
Well, I've kind of taken all the zest out of, hey, I'm fine, how are you? Preemptively, I guess.
No, I'm not very good at it anyway. That's just one of those things. Especially not on Saturday morning.
Hey, what's on cartoons?
Something dumb.
No, I mean that's the idea. It's all cartoons all the time now. I mean,
oh yeah,
there are
yeah
no
yeah
more Saturday.
No, I grew up with three channels, and plus UHF, I guess. I remember. It's been a long time though.
Yeah, you grew up in Oklahoma, Stan, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. The cartoons depended on what the weather was up to.
I was always the only ones I really cared about. Was the Bugs Bunny. I've been a hardcore Warner Brothers cartoon fan for as long as I can remember.
Did I ever tell you I got to meet Chuck Jones once?
No! Talk about hiding your light under a bushel.
Well, it was pretty brief. We didn't. It's one of those kind of things, you know, I remember reading on Bart Cop, he was saying, like, you know, he has a lot of heroes, but he was not sure if he'd ever want to meet them just because, you know, you get face-to-face with somebody and then it's kind of like, you know, now what do I do? A little bit like that. I didn't know exactly what to say to him, and he didn't know what to say to me, so our entire conversation consisted of, he said he got to as close to Oklahoma as Little Rock once. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. That was basically it.
That's close enough for most of America.
Yeah, yeah. Too close for some.
Well, I mean, it depends on whether or not Jim Inhofe is in district or out of district.
Yeah.
And I guess they're going to have a new senator now who's going to make Inhofe look sane, right?
What's his name? That's my old representative. I'm blanking on his name now. It doesn't really matter. We're all going to be finding out plenty about him pretty soon.
Well, but he's going to have to work real hard to out-loony Joni Ernst.
Oh, God, yeah, I know. It's pretty funny that Chappie Gordon made the national radar, too, now, so who knows.
Who really, really wants to spank some transgendered children. Really, really. In the name of Jesus,
yeah.
Of course.
Well, so Inhofe is in charge of science, the science committee, and
no, environment.
Oh, that's even better. Oh, yeah. Terrific. Well, right, we can put him in charge of aviation, a small personal aircraft.
God. Let's give him a small part. Yeah, maybe a Piper.
He has one, doesn't he? He keeps running over people with it.
Well, yeah, I know. I was thinking just maybe giving him an old Brewster Buffalo with one cylinder missing. I'm in a bad mood this evening, I think.
I'd say get used to it for the next, what?
It's going to be an interesting 2 years. I've already noticed, and I don't know if y'all did, the right-wing hate-a-phone, right-wing radio, right-wing TV, you know, the Beckerheads and Limbaughs and Hannity Jobs and et cetera, are already screaming for impeachment. And I'll be honest, I want them to have it.
I think under the circumstances, that's the best thing that we could ask for. But they need to build up to it, get all good and crazy first, so everybody gets to see it up close and personal and can't deny it.
Oh yeah, I want 6 months of hearings. We need to find out which right wing member of Congress is going to volunteer to go shoot watermelons in the backyard, that kind of stuff. Let's move on through and say hello to other members of the chat group this evening. Good evening, Roger. Are you there?
Good evening. I'm here. I'm out in garden working, but I got my headphones on, so I'm participating at least by listening.
Oh, hot diggity. You sound great. And to be doing that in the garden, you know, the future of internet broadcasting is now.
Yeah, well, I love being able to be working and listening while I'm out doing stuff.
No, I find that just wonderful. It really is the future now. Because nobody, you know, when we started this out back in 2004, nobody was able to do that. I mean, it was a real thrill to find to get a call from Alan the trucker, who was going down the road listening via a card that he had plugged into a laptop.
Well, I got to thank Sparky for this one, for turning me on to the headphones and the little USB transmitter that plugs into the computer and blah 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 blah. But it allows me to have the freedom to walk around and be picking broccoli or squash or doing other stuff out in the garden and still be participating in a internet program.
How's the garden looking this evening?
A little wet.
Been a mite damp in Humboldt, has it?
Yeah, yesterday it rained, and right now I'm looking at the asparagus, which is all covered up with rice straw. And I did get some tilling done, but ground's awful wet and clingy on my feet right now, so my wife gets pissed off every time I walk in the house.
Well, tell her to be patient. I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, she loves the fresh veggies, you know.
Right. I mean, into each life some rain must fall, and occasionally
correct.
Asparagus and beets and, yeah.
Broccoli and cabbage and kale and kohlrabi and zucchini and yellow crookneck and yellow patty pan and raspberries and beans and artichokes and kohlrabi and et cetera.
We are now well into the food porn. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it.
Well, if you got an acre garden, you grow a whole lot of stuff.
You know, I need your I got an acre here. I've got an acre here. I lost my prime garden ground back when we had to put in the new septic system because, well, they told me, I don't know, maybe a tiller wouldn't go too deep on that.
No, septic system ought to be more than 8-12 inches under.
Yeah, I'm talking about the leach field.
Well,
it
should still be down some, too.
So, I don't know, you inspire me. You're doing all that on an acre.
And the leach field will just give you all summer water.
Now, do you, what is your growing season? What's the length of your growing season, Roger?
Let's see. The asparagus starts coming on the end of February, beginning of March. I usually plant the broccolis and that kind of stuff in late April, early May. And if I'm really going gangbusters, I plant through September and October, and I harvest into November.
Now, are you just rotating stuff through the same ground?
I can get three crops of lettuce in 1 year out of the same row.
Wow. And that is, and so what are your summer high temperatures like?
Oh, 70, 72.
Yeah, paradise, that's what I thought.
And
lettuce doesn't like our high July 98 degree days.
Well, you got to grow the head. I can only grow leaf because heads won't form. It's not warm enough. But I'm picking right now broccoli romanesco and cauliflower out of a patch that I already planted potatoes, dug the potatoes, and then replanted the cabbage and cauliflower.
You know what? Ramen with the flavor boost packet cannot hold a candle to you, Roger.
I got two crops out of that patch. But the squash and cucumbers, I only get one crop a year out of that patch of dirt.
Well, I think if I got smart about it, I could probably get some, well, deer notwithstanding.
Yeah, but deer are so good when they get really, really cold in little paper white packages.
Downright yummy.
Yeah. I just call it snow peas recycled.
Well, when they took down my 125 tomato plants and 72 hot peppers a few years back, we referred to them as jerky on the hoof.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, you just take a flashlight, tape it up alongside the barrel of the .22, and go out in the evening and do headshots.
Somehow I figure it'd wind up working out a lot like Bill Murray trying to take out the groundhogs in Caddyshack. Oh, Mr. Groundhog. Yeah. Let's continue. Oh, by the way, I got some news. Our good friend Gary, otherwise known as Labor Man, has responded to Matt this evening, and then turned around a challenge of his own. Labor Man says, $150 challenge on the table. Have a Moran Monday on me and kick a crazy right-wing nut job in the nuts and bring the pain. So this is in response both to Matt and going forward with have a Moran Monday on me. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Gary. It is much, much appreciated. And that would get us out front starting with next week, which would make my otherwise stressed-out Monday considerably less so, I think. Moving along, good evening, Carol Baker.
Well, howdy, howdy.
How in the world are you?
Off the ledge.
Yeah, me too. And trying to stay there. You know, just gonna. I don't know. I think when the program's over, I'm going to bust out the fruit jar and the swirly straw and just say, you know, Calgon, take me away.
I've made it my personal mission to help my fellow progressives to just smile a little.
Well, I noticed following your feed that, you know, you're responding appropriately to what happened on Tuesday.
I am. There are no sharp objects involved.
But you did see, I trust, the survey questionnaire from South Carolina?
I sent it to you.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
It all runs together after a while, Carol. I'm terribly sorry, but sometimes it does. It's been a weird couple of days.
Yes, one of the exit questions was essentially, do black people, God, I can't even remember what it was.
Are black people becoming too demanding about equality?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm telling you, once you...
That was like Christmas morning with the first wood burning set. It just got scorched right into my cerebral cortex.
That's right. Once you let those wrong colors off the plantation, they want everything.
Yeah, no kidding. The goddess of irony saw to it that was done in South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Because it wouldn't have even been as good in Mississippi.
No, it wouldn't have. And interestingly, I have not heard a word from anybody that I know from Iowa since Tuesday.
Kind of hiding in shame, are they?
Well, when I told them that I congratulated them for becoming Northern Missouri.
Hey, by the way, did you happen to notice that the Joni Ernst spokes creep got busted for DUI just a few days before the election? But, of course, the story was not reported by the Des Moines Register until 2 days after?
Of course not. Of course not. And, of course, I loved her acceptance speech with the rape reference.
Oh, you mean the squeal? Yeah. Oh, I love this story. The woman's name is Gretchen Hamel, and, you know, let those without sin cast the first stone, by all means. But they found her passed out behind the wheel of her car after she'd sort of toddled across multiple lanes of traffic and then trundled over a curb on October 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to, this is fun, she came to the campaign, the Ernst campaign, from an outfit called Public Notice. And they are, of course, a Koch Brothers front group out of Virginia. She'd been a PR specialist in the Bush White House.
Oh.
And we might recall that George Bush got so liquored up he drove his car through the living room window one evening. This is on the job training.
Yeah.
two Iowa men found her hunched over her console with the car still running. And they, you know, it was only because police were called, because they didn't notice, that she wound up getting popped. Now, after she had been sort of awakened long enough to blow into the breathalyzer, she blew a .181.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's after having been passed out for a while.
Oh my God!
And then she said, "But I wasn't driving. Robert was driving when the car crashed, and then he took off running after the crash." And then she said, "But of course, I'm a Republican. And that means you know I'm lying."
Well, she got that part right. Well, suddenly, have you ever heard the Irish Pig song?
Oh, wait, there's more. She was not arrested.
Of course not.
Instead, she was charged with failure to maintain control of a vehicle, invalid driver's license, and expired car insurance.
And the whole drinking thing?
Well, you know.
She wasn't driving. I know.
No. She was working for Joni Ernst. No. When you work for Joni Ernst, you put gin on your Wheaties.
When you're a constituent of Joni Ernst, you put gin on your Wheaties.
I was thinking that was just, you know, you use opium for air freshener.
Oh,
nice.
God. Yeah, well, they got what they wanted. Like I said, have you, Bob, ever heard the Irish Pig drinking song?
No.
You never have?
I didn't know Irish pigs drank.
Well, it's sort of like the Joni Ernst. It's been running through my head all day. It's something that I grew up with when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's a real quick little ditty.
Oh, is this one of those Iowa family values?
This is an Iowa. My father was an alcoholic, but a happy drunk.
Well, Iowa family values. That's what I said.
But it's real simple. It was early last September, as near as I can remember, while strolling down the lane in tipsy pride. Not a soul was I disturbing as I lay there by the curbing when this pig come up and lay there by me side. Not a soul was I disturbing as I lay there by the curbin' when this high-toned lady come and I heard her say, "You can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses." And the pig got up and slowly walked away. new Joni Ernst song.
That's perfect.
Isn't it?
Oh, and you got a big shout out from Kelly in the chat room. I love that song, Carol. Kelly apparently knows it.
Sorry for singing.
No, that was lovely. Done lovely. So, where from here?
I don't know.
Let us continue the greetings. I don't know if Will's able to talk or not. Good evening, Will.
Yes, I am. Good evening. I usually can't talk if it's at bedtime here for others, but feeling fine and remembering that politics, like many things in life, is a marathon, and trying to seek consolation in the fact that we will likely have comedy gold for a couple years with people who should model a new jacket, a straight jacket, that is.
Yes, with the fashionably long sleeves that tie in the back, right.
Yes, and I'm thinking some sort of gag might go with it.
And it was kind of weird in Illinois, was it not?
Yes, but Quinn had problems. He didn't really campaign effectively in many areas. Rauner was able to get maybe 20% of the vote in Chicago by trying to portray himself as a moderate. The major newspapers endorsed him. Essentially, Quinn's problem is he came in with about as big a mess as Obama had nationally, specifically with the pension plans, which Republicans and Democrats had ignored for 30 years. But Rauner's power is limited because the Democrats have a supermajority in the legislature. Plus, he also has to remember that the Tea Party craziness is not as strong in Illinois as in many other parts of the country. Also, Illinois did pass a minimum wage hike, and it does seem that for those candidates who ran as, in Howard Dean's words, Democratic members of the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, and for issues that were progressive, such as legalizing cannabis, minimum wage laws, which passed in places like Arkansas, of all things, and health care in sick leave for workers in Massachusetts, passed. I think the great flaw we saw this election is what Harry Truman said, namely that if given a choice between a Republican and someone who's a Democrat in name, who acts like a Republican, votes like a Republican, talks like a Republican, people will choose the real thing. And I'm not referring to Coca-Cola.
No, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because let me point out a couple of other things about that created the Illinois problem, one of which is the fact that, as you allude, Will, they weren't very good at being Democrats.
No.
And one of the things,
Pat Quinn ran as if he had the soul of a mannequin.
And one of the things that they did is the Democrats couldn't take money from fracking companies fast enough. Meanwhile, a brand new story published yesterday by my good friend Jeff Biggers. Jeff writes, on the heels of the nation's fastest growing coal mining rush, a state legislative committee chaired by the Sierra Club champion Senator Don Harmon of Illinois officially unleashed fracking in Illinois yesterday, approving the final regulatory rules in secret as legislators essentially dumped the concerns of compromising lobbyists with the Illinois Environmental Council and Sierra Club in closed-door meetings. Gosh, thanks, Sierra Club.
Yes, the gift that keeps on giving, rather like syphilis after an orgy. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We'll probably have a Republican caught up in that, plead his faith, and get forgiven. This is one of the key problems we have this election. We had $4 billion spent on races for Congress and an estimated $7 billion once you throw in local races, state Senate, state House, governors, and the like. I think one thing as progressives we have to do besides, making sure a few people who are behind this debacle resign, and we can also remind them that we're this Japan in the year 1714, there would be some nice blades waiting for them. They have to also begin to raise the issue of why campaign finance reform actually matters to the voters, because if people are waiting for handouts from Captain Corporation, everyone's least favorite superhero, or perhaps everyone's most tolerated supervillain, we can't have them deal with the public's business. Even a good senator like Warren or Sanders still has to go out and spend time raising money.
Sure, and that keeps the people's business from getting done. Getting back to the Illinois fracking sellout by the Sierra Club, Annette McMichael of Southern Illinoisans Against Fracturing Our Environment said, "The rules were negotiated behind closed doors without meaningful scientific review. We are not allowed to review the new rules until November 15th when they're posted on the Illinois Register. There is no doubt they will be woefully inadequate to protect Illinois residents from the known harms horizontal fracking has brought to residents across America." It's one more example, and this is from Bill Rao of the Environmental Justice Leader at Illinois People's Action. It's one more example of disenfranchising citizens. And they, with friends like these, you know?
Because
that's not a bunch of Republicans doing that.
No, it's Democrats who are very eager to take campaign cash where they can get it from and justify it to themselves. Well, this really isn't happening in my district, but guess what? The injury of one, as you have said, is an injury to all, simply because people are being hurt. And we also have to tell ourselves we have alternatives we can pursue on energy rather than the fossil fuels. So it's time that we have some sense and dignity and begin to address the issues. So I try to look at the defeats as an opportunity to rebuild, for rebirth, for renewal.
Well, we got to start somewhere.
Exactly. And look at this way. There will be fights ahead. There is a fear that the third way Democrats, meaning the Bill Clinton wing of the party, will try forcing out the progressives. But my advice to the progressives is hold firm and say, well, look what your results got you, because we had people like...
Never mind holding firm, Will. I say take the Marshall Foch approach. What did he say? The enemy is to my left. The enemy is to my right. The enemy is to my front. I attack.
Sounds good. We can also take the Sigourney Weaver approach. Nuke them from high orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
And good evening, Haley. Haley.
Hello, everyone. It's just been a strange week here in Arkansas. We've got all seven constitutional offices going to be in the red.
And yet you're going to have what was the minimum wage and what's it going up to now?
Well, it was the state minimum wage, I think, was $6.25, which is a little lower than the federal. And then under this provision, it's going to go up in stages, and it will top out at eight something. But it passed 60% of the vote.
Right, and that was my next question. How many Democratic candidates made a point of supporting that?
All of them did. That was one of the few things. And even the Republican candidate for governor who won came out later on and supported it as the campaign went on.
Now, one thing we want to be careful of, Haley, you cannot say Republican governor and came out, or people will get the wrong impression. I mean, we're talking about a Republican, after all.
Well, I do believe that Lindsey Graham's going to have a very interesting new friend come next in the Senate this coming January.
Oh, you mean Tom Cotton?
Oh yes, they're going to be best friends. It looks like.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
I shouldn't be talking with that voice. It sounds like I'm some sort of drag queen.
Stop that. And Jim is on the Gizmo line. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
Well, you know, welcome to the gang.
Well, I got a little election day story I forgot to relate to you from the other day. It's just real quick when I went to go vote, and I had the voter voting card, and I had, I was curious to see if I'd have to show my ID. And I go there, and sure enough, this white-haired old lady goes, I need to see your picture ID. I go, well, no, there's my voter ID card. No, I got to see it. And I just said, then I said, with one of my clever Jim Wittes's, and I said, how fascistic? She said, I don't know what that means, but I said, I see your card. So, your ID. So I showed her my ID, and I was thinking about trying to start some sort of Abby Hoffman thing, but I figured I'd just vote and get out and go to
You probably didn't have the bail money.
Probably not. And, just be another black mark against me in the family tree. So
you've specialized in those, haven't you, though?
I probably have more than everybody else in my family combined, but it's an art.
But proud son of your father, I mean, the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Let me check in here. Hey, Sergi, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Bob.
There's our Sergi. You okay? Tough night in Texas Tuesday.
Yeah, but I wasn't surprised in the end. I mean, the main issue it boils down to is there are too many Democrats, too many progressives, quote unquote, out there who are not exactly the sharpest knives in the drawer themselves. And so, they sit up here and think, I don't need to vote in any elections but the presidential ones. That's the only ones that matter.
Derp, derp, derp.
And so, yeah, they're just as stupid as teabaggers for thinking that. It's like that is just like the reason.
What were the youth vote numbers like in Texas?
They were abysmal. This election was one of the it was either one of the or the worst turnout of any gubernatorial election in Texas history. It was abysmally low.
I asked that, Sergi, about the youth vote, A, because you're a young guy, and B, because if I read her postings correctly, Carol was less than plussed with the youth turnout or the young vote. Do I read you correctly, Carol?
Well, it was like, I think it was in the 20s. 20 percentile that the young people went out to vote, but of all of the eligible registered voters over the age of 60, it was more than 60%. So I guess when you're circling the drain, you're going to get yours. You don't give a shit if anybody else gets theirs.
I don't think we can, because I mentioned this the other night, and as is often the case, I keep thinking about things after I say them. It just kind of blew me away to think that the 80-year-old voter in Tuesday's election was born in 1934. Because I think it's a... So I'm talking about the way my own mind works. When I think about old people, I don't think about me. And I don't think about people I know or people around me. When I think about old people, I think about my grandmother born in 1894. Or I think about my mom and dad, born in 1924 and 1925 and 1924, respectively. But the 1924 voter was 90 on Tuesday. There ain't just a hell of a lot of them left. And so that the youth vote versus the elderly vote, I mean, that breakdown of Georgia and North Carolina voting patterns we had Tuesday night that showed that the young vote was just absolutely, decidedly in the Democratic column, while the old folks down south, way down upon the, never mind, way down upon the ignorant river. Okay, I'm done singing tonight too now. that they were, wildly, well, there was a lot more of them and a lot more Republican voting.
Bob?
See?
My dad voted in the June primary at the age of 96. It was his last vote.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Not a lot of nonagenarians in the election.
But I mean, he used the writing ballot like we do. I mean, saves you from going to the poll. Because in California, you can apply for permanent write-in ballot status. And if you try to go to the polls, they won't let you vote.
And
civilization.
Oh, by the way, I heard, read, saw some story about one polling place in L.A., in Bel Air, where there was harp music and a little buffet. And it was a largely, it was almost an exclusively Democratic polling precinct. Mm-hmm. California Secretary of State said, there's no problem there. They're not saying Republicans can't eat. They're not saying Democrats can't eat. Just everybody come have a nice time and vote. That actually struck me as a pretty good idea. Now, here where I am, I don't think harp music and lamb brioche would necessarily get people in the doors, but a weenie on a bun, hell, West Virginians will crawl across ground glass for a free hot dog.
Lots of people would show up in Illinois and other parts of the Midwest. Is, well, I think we have to be willing to rethink everything after this, and this is one of the good things about a defeat. It forces you to take a long, hard look at yourself. And what is amazing is, for all this talk about the election, perhaps 30% of Americans voted. So a majority of that 30% is still 15% of the population. So I think one key thing we have to figure out is, how do we get more people out to vote? Because if we have the numbers, we win. Even Paul Warrick back in 1980 recognized that. And his heirs still do.
For my part, I would go to Illinois if they were giving away Chicago-style hot dogs at the polling place. I would commit voter fraud.
What about for Boudin?
Well, okay, see? It just seems kind of a futile act in Louisiana, though, Jim.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'd crawl across ground glass for Boudin, God knows, jambalaya, etouffee, name it. I'm there. I think it's an idea whose time has come.
Sounds like a plan. Let's see. Well, I have something cooking, something downstairs. I got my mother fixed for me, sent over.
Mama made it?
Actually, she bought it from a place, but it's in a container. Something over.
Okay, I understand that. Because I was going to say, if Mama made it, what are you doing on the phone? I mean,
I got one foot firmly in the 21st century. I can heated up, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I was just thinking about Cuisine de Mama.
Yeah. Well.
That is good. Nothing like homemade. I'm going to wish everyone a good evening. I should be back for the After Malloy chat, but let's remember, folks, despair is something that the GOP and their backers want. So am I ready to give them anything they want? No. I'm ready to give them something they need, a retirement party, preferably a one-way trip through the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, and you know, you're absolutely right, Will. I was talking to Boss Man Wayne earlier today, and he said, listen, I'm still a militant liberal Democrat. I may be more militant today than I was on Monday.
Precisely. And we have to realize our own strength, because that is part of their propaganda. They want us to see ourselves as weak, as ineffective. And yet, we've had people who are from states as different as Oregon and New Hampshire and Minnesota run as progressives and win. So here's an idea, Democrats. Be yourselves and let the world know that.
Well, I agree. And if you've got a role, I don't want to keep you on, but I appreciate that. Well said, Will. Well said indeed.
Peace.
Yeah, well, that's just like with what Mary Landau did. I mean, I think she would have done a hell of a lot better if she, you know, showed some support for the, you know, what is it, Affordable Care Act, ACA. Instead, I don't, you know, like you were saying the other day, I mean, I don't know where these consultants. God, I wish I'd get a consulting job, and even though you're wrong.
Oh, you mean the professional losers? Yeah, look, the weather guy in San Diego has a harder job than these paid professional loser consultants that were. And the funny thing is, this is the part that blows my mind, Jim. They're going to get hired. They'll be hired again. Most of them probably already have gigs to go lose in the next election cycle. And what a racket.
Oh.
Good work bad work if you can get it. No work if you can get it. Just sit around and wait for the Republican to say something, and then you say, yeah, me too.
Well, hi, folks. I just came in.
Hey, Larry.
I'm jumping in. Hi there. I hope everybody's doing okay. I'm considering going to the Greens.
Don't.
Okay.
I'm going to piss people off, but why would you go to the Greens when, one, you live in California, two, the Democrat, back up. I'm not going to say don't. That's not my business,
okay.
Larry.
Yeah, that's not. Well,
let me say this. If you go to the Greens, you know, I have no doubt that sometime in the future, the Greens will be the second political party, and the Democratic Party will probably be dead.
Okay.
Okay? That's 100 years from now.
Yeah.
So do you want the rest of your political life to be exercised in absolute futility?
I understand that point, and that's what I'm told by 99%.
Or would you rather try to solve a problem and make something better?
Well, I'm frustrated with the I'm not the only one. Most people are, but I don't see. But until what I'm weighing is, you know, if the Democratic Party is going to continue to try to be less conservative than the most conservative party, and they don't show any or they take people's vote for granted, and they're not willing to Peter B. Collins was saying, you know, Peter B. Collins.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Ralph Nader and various people are saying that the consultants that they hired didn't, you know, really give people the candidates, candidates that would really give people a chance, give people a reason to go out and vote. If the Democratic Party is going to continue to adopt the strategy of being bland and not fighting for, you know, for their base and not living up to their, you know, original ideals.
But are they, are they doing all those things in California?
Well,
because the last I checked, well, I mean, let me back up to something I said a few days ago, Larry. This is no time for fracturing and running in 17 different directions, because now that the Koch brothers have gotten their way with the rest of the country, they've got very few states that they actually have to focus their efforts on. And you know what? Don't think they won't. Okay.
Yeah.
And the other day I used a Lord of the Rings analogy. The orcs have blown through everything else, and now Washington, Oregon, California, Minnesota, Vermont's not safe. Neither's Massachusetts, because if they focus their energies on y'all and you're all they have to work on, God help you. And if you are fractured, and if you're running around out there and trying to build a third party, you know, trying to build a third party while the second party is under attack, guess what you're going to get?
Okay.
Do you think it's impossible for California to turn red?
No.
No, but we already beat the Koch brothers once.
But they can come back.
Yeah,
they
but
come back.
I have Barbara Lee. And I have great representation where I am. San Francisco has great representation. The urban area of Los Angeles and some of the limousine liberal areas of Los Angeles have great representation. But I don't see the National Party pushing Barbara Lee or.
And they're not. They're not. That's why I'm saying y'all are going to have to defend yourselves on your own.
Hey, Larry, I've been voting for losers since 1980. I haven't had a Democrat represent me in Congress since 1980.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the reasons why it's so frustrating to be involved in politics for all these years and working as a union representative and not seeing your efforts ever going anywhere. Because
believe me, when I was doing the union organizing bit for a few years, even on the job sites and everything, talking to people, I was frustrated with people. I said, why do you vote for Republicans?
You guys think you're frustrated. Me and Sergio and Bob vote in the most frustrating states in the nation.
Yeah, Oklahoma, Texas, and West Virginia. Well, let's not leave Haley out.
Arkansas.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Arkansas too.
You know, and
Larry.
You know, and Jason. You know,
I bet Arkansas voted for the Clintons though, or for Bill. Yeah.
And you know, Jay Cruzan is consistently frustrated all the time, and he basically, and he says he's throwing up his hands too in Florida, and he's from North Carolina. So, but the point is, we can't continue to see that at some point the Democratic Party is going to have to push a more I hate using the term progressive these days, because progressive is the new liberal. I mean, I don't know if anybody is progressive anymore in this.
Oh, good God! See, there's part of the problem, Larry. We've got to have a consensus-based decision-making meeting to decide when to have a lunch and to organize a buffet to determine whether or not there's consensus for whether we ought to be liberals or progressives.
You know,
I got a question.
Yeah.
Homework assignment.
Yeah.
Did anybody in the Progressive Caucus get beat?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, that's an interesting. So Donna Edwards is still there. Who are some of the other people in the?
The Congressional Progressive Caucus is the single largest.
It's a long list.
It's the single largest body in the Congress. I think there are 168 members.
Well, yeah, but the people that are there, though, the progressives that were in the Congress this year are the ones that already survived gerrymandering before, though. So, I mean, like, they can't be taken out, essentially. I mean, like, there were no progressives running in any close races, I don't think. And that's partially by design.
Well, you know what blew my mind in California? That Mike Honda, who's a really great guy down in San Jose, he was in a close race against some, you know, he was in a close race where he was. Julie Brownlee's, you know, basically new, and she's in a tight race. I don't know what happened with Mark Warner in Virginia, whether or not he pulled it out or what happened, you know. I don't know what happened with Mark Warner. But it's just...
Well, he's one of the ones that I wouldn't have been too sad to see go at all. And he's not the only one that actually left. Yeah, I mean, considering. I mean, like, well... I'm sure he gets worse in Virginia, but he wasn't a very good Democrat as far as it goes, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, and, okay. You know, Larry...
Go ahead, sir.
Larry, as far as your thing about, you know, the Greens, it's like, just ask yourself one question, Larry. One question. On November 9th of 2016, do you want to wake up to a President Hillary or a President Cruz?
Well, or President Jebby, or, hey,
Biden wants to run again, too.
Vice President Joni.
but I don't want the Democrats to think, I don't want my party to think that it can take the, you know, its voters for granted, because the Democratic Party will just sit there and just say, well, they don't have any other place to go. And we don't have to alter our policies. We don't have to alter our platform. We don't have to do anything substantive or anything really, really incisive politically, because our voters don't have any other place to go except to go to the extreme, you know, to the Republican Party, which now has defined itself as the Berkshire Party.
And I realize this is going to be really difficult for progressives.
Yeah,
but why not follow the lead of Boss Man Wayne and say that as of Wednesday morning, I am more, not less, militant than I already was. Why not? I mean, it wasn't that long after the results were pretty well set in stone Tuesday that I became what I think I was the first West Virginian to say, go, Joe, for God's sakes, go. To Joe Manchin, saying, please, go join the Republican majority in the Senate. I implore you. I beg you. And I'm right there, okay? I'm not going away from that. My God, the man did an interview, Joe Manchin did, with Time Magazine, and he said he wants to fix the work hours requirement in the Affordable Care Act. Because right now, if you work more than 30 hours, you are covered by the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
He and the Republicans want to raise that to 40. Now, do you see what a lovely dodge that is? Nobody gets 40 hours in America anymore anyway. I mean, I know...
Yeah, exactly.
I know a woman... I mean, I don't know her. We don't have coffee or anything. But there's a woman I talked to who works in town. She's working two jobs right now. She's working 60 hours a week. She doesn't get a goddamn nickel of overtime for any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to do that to make the money that she ought to be making working 40.
That's right.
Now, she's not getting 40 at either of the two jobs she works. So that means neither job would provide her with health care.
Mm-hmm.
But at 30...
Yeah, Bob. Yeah,
go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, I noticed that, and that's why I ended up decided when I came back to Louisiana, Stan, trying to find full-time work and just talking to people around here. Everything is part-time. And, like, where I work, it's basically 24 hours, no more than 26, 28, 24 hours.
Right, and that's a bunch of dirty bastards trying to dodge the 30-hour requirement.
That's right.
Before we go any further, I got to share this Joe Manchin quote with you, and this is via a piece over at Crooks and Liars that News Ninja Gene sent me. This is amazing. To say that now we're going to verify the 30 hours will be worse than Europe, Manchin said. I can't go to West Virginia and try to sell that crap.
Jesus Christ, I can't believe
worse,
that.
We'll be worse than Europe. Excuse me, what are the uninsured rates in Europe? I mean, how... may I swear for a couple of minutes here? How goddamn dumb is that stupid man to say that we will be worse than Europe? We're already worse than Europe. Workers in Europe get 6 weeks of paid vacation a year. People who aren't working in Europe still have the semblance of a social safety net, unemployment compensation with which they can pay their bills. There are countries in Europe where if you want to go to college, you go for free because those countries value as the number one resource in their countries, and I kind of object to the resourcification, but anyway, their people and their people's abilities and the people's knowledge and the people's potential genius will be worse than Europe. Joe, you dumbass. We're already worse than Europe, and we may be, and we are rapidly approaching being on a par with Haiti and Somalia.
You know, I kind of wonder how these politicians can get away with saying all this stuff, or if they're really all that ignorant, or if they know exactly what they're talking about, and they just pull one over on people.
I think they know exactly what they're talking about. I think they know that the majority of American people are a combination of just goddamn ignorant and too busy trying to exist and not realizing that there's other options like the European, I'll call it the European model. You know, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I'd like to ask, you know, what Glenn Ford or Bill Fletcher or any of these, other people are basically talking about.
Well, let's hang on, Larry. Our buddy the Angry Indian's been in the room for a while, and we haven't even checked in with him. Are you there, Angry?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's happening, man?
I'm listening. You know, I mean, as far as Glenn Ford and what's supposed to be the serious left in terms of media, I mean, they're not saying anything new either. They haven't said anything new for the past 10, going on 15 years. And I'm saying that with all due respect. They're not saying anything new. Nobody is saying anything new. I mean, with all due respect, I'm not hearing anything new. You know, so why don't we really ask ourselves what's really happening by looking at the numbers? Now, I believe going between Think Progress over the past couple of days and most of what's supposed to be the accepted left-wing media, Daily Kos and what have you, Alternet, 67% of white males that actually voted, because that was only, 36.6 out of what was supposed to be the field, right?
Right.
The rank and file here, since there's no law here that mandates you to vote. They got over from the white male vote. You know, you also have 40,000 applications disappearing. These are mostly people of color, poor whites, immigrants, recent immigrants that have been naturalized or what have you, or they have their green cards. There was cheating up and down. We realized that people were fired for not pushing GOP adverts, GOP propaganda at their polling place. These are captains who are supposed to make sure that the vote is legit. They were fired by the GOP. So we know that they cheated. They cheated with Bush.
Oh, shit.
In 2000. And the, Al Gore didn't do a goddamn thing about it. Well, everybody here has seen Fahrenheit 9/11. Mm-hmm. We all know about this. And then they did it a second time because they were able to get away with it in Florida. They did it in Ohio. So then they turned around and did it in Alabama. They did it in parts of Jersey. They did it in, all over the black America, basically. Even on Native American reservations. There were two reservations that said that the polling places were closed where it was heavily Republican, to make sure that the Democrats who went to work didn't have a chance to get to the polls. Voter ID, which is already a crock. But then they were telling people in states that did not have voter ID that they had to have several, pieces of ID. So they were doing everything possible to keep as many minorities, as many people that they figured were going to vote against them, away from the polls. Now, yeah, it's true. A lot of people didn't go. Yeah, a lot of people are frustrated. But people have been frustrated. People were frustrated when things were going okay. People were still frustrated. Mm-hmm. This vote was really about white privilege, because look at what happened with the measure of Prop 47 in California. It passed in California. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why did that pass in California? Well, California has the most, is the most ethnically mixed state in the union, at least so far. So, you know, that's one thing that we can say. And yeah, that was about race, and then it wasn't about race, but a lot of people are just tired of paying to keep people locked up. They realize that the prison system is privatized. It's not helping anybody, because even if somebody does a year or two, they come back hardened.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come out the way that they went in. That's like saying somebody goes to Iraq and Afghanistan and comes back exactly the same way. I don't know anybody, male or female, that's come back the same. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people in California started to realize that three strikes, all it did was make certain people rich. And it kept a lot of the neighborhoods even more jacked up than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we have Washington State, where they actually voted a tax increase, because they have like a ratio of 55 or 58, sometimes 65 children to one teacher in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. So they decided in that state to raise their taxes to do this, because they realize in the long term, you have to do this. If you don't do that, that kid will turn around and bust somebody's head open. Then we got to put him in a joint. How much does this cost? What does this do to the society at large? So they decided to go ahead and pay for that. You know, they also passed a gun restriction measure where you have to investigate these cats before they buy a weapon. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think it was going to pass, you know, up there, because they were spending a hell of a lot of money. But all of the things that we consider to be progressive initiatives passed. You can smoke weed now in Oregon, where I reside. You know, most of these states passed these measures. Okay, not just for medical, but for recreational use, right? Okay, that's great. That's great, right? GMO labeling, I just saw someone mention, I believe that they tried to pass it, but that was heavy money, heavy Monsanto. But people did try, right? I mean, you know, they're swamping these folks with ass. The Koch brothers are throwing money around. Scott Walker got tons of money. All of these Koch people got money. But many of these progressive initiatives passed. But they still voted GOP, and everyone's standing around asking themselves why. And the point is, Obama's black. And let's face facts.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you come away with anything but that, Angry?
You can't come away with anything but that if you're being honest with yourself.
Let's be fair. Let's fast forward to an America in which perhaps Hillary Clinton is president.
It will be the same thing.
Only
will be the new black.
Yeah, female will be.
I mean to cut everybody off, but you got to understand something, though. Remember the new crime bill, the ominous crime bill?
Yeah.
That was Bill Clinton, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton is responsible for putting more black people in prison than anybody else.
Yes, he is.
Even Nixon didn't even get a chance to do that, and that's what he was actually trying to do when he was in office. He drew up several plans.
Mm-hmm.
Several plans. I mean, even Kissinger supposedly was in on some of these ideas on how they could, you know, basically put black people in the camps because they were worried about the riots that were going on in the cities. But he couldn't pass it. The Congress, the Senate would not let them get away with this, right? The people actually stood up. And then you had the Frank Church hearings, and then, you know, a lot of other things came out. But, you know, Bill Clinton came in, and then all of a sudden racial profiling was now federally mandated.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a town in New Jersey who defended themselves on that basis. They said, we have a right to racially profile. It's in the ominous crime bill. Because a lot of people have forgotten about it, but it was still there. Who passed NAFTA and GATT?
Clinton.
Reagan and Bush couldn't pass NAFTA and GATT.
No, or the Telecommunications Act or Glass-Steagall. Understood, all these things are passed by a Republican Congress, but signed and passed by a Republican Congress that is not veto-proof.
Yeah.
And signed into law by a president who is supposedly, I mean, God, I was sitting around. Some of what I heard in right-wing talk radio was why I decided to get back into radio, because I got tired of hearing, My friends, Bill Clinton is the most liberal human being ever to draw breath on the planet Earth. I heard that shit. I remember. And it's, well, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, but hold up, Bob. What did we hear not too long ago? I can't remember her name. She was one of these Democrats who lost. Someone asked her about a week or two before the election, do you stand by Barack Obama, his policies, what's been going on with the DNC? Do you support Obamacare, this, that, and the other? And she didn't give a flat answer. Her response was, I'm a Clinton Democrat, which means that I'm not a Democrat at all. I'm Republican light.
That was Allison Lundergan Grimes.
Yeah.
And look, so, you know, after now that all the weeping's over, I don't mind saying Allison Lundergan Grimes deserved to lose. Natalie, and look, I mean, I get behind the microphone every night, but it was January the 5th. No, not January. It was up further into the year when I published the op-ed in the Charleston Gazette called an intervention. And I said, Natalie Tennant, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to lose. And then proceeded to tell her why.
Mm-hmm.
But the millionaire campaign consultants never wavered a moment. It was, well, we're just as Republican as Shelley Moore is. We loves us some coal. Why, hell, Natalie puts coal dust on her cornflakes instead of sugar. And that's the only black thing she does.
Well, Bob, can I add a little perspective here?
Oh, jump in, Carol, please.
Okay.
Oh, hello, Carol, by the way.
Hi, Angry. Listen, on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday morning, I drew a line in the sand with all of my progressive friends. I was born a hardcore Democrat, and I, like you, with each passing day, am being flung so far to the left, it's giving me a neck ache. But
let's not talk about those.
I'm sorry, doll. This is not our first rodeo. We remember when Newt Gingrich had his contract on America. Oh, I think that was contract for America. But, you know, there's not going to be any more. You know, when Obama was elected, it was you couldn't mention W. It wasn't his fault. It was Obama bought it. It's his economy. It's his. Fine. You broke it. You bought it.
Pottery barn.
Not my fault. It's not the fault of the Democrats. When the GOP finishes what it started, there's no more blaming President Blackenstein or poor people or minorities or anybody that isn't white, rich, Christian, straight. We handed the keys over to the drunks again, who mm-hmm. have liked it every single time
exactly.
they got their hands on it. And now exactly. it's all theirs. So we're not taking the blame for any of the dents in it. And
no.
we know that they're going to bring it back totaled and say it was a bad deal when they took it. But I'm not having it. So the GOP unleashed the rabid bagger dogs on us. They unleashed the rabid Christian dogs on us. They unleashed the rabid austerity dogs on us. And now their wet dream is about to come true. Except they forgot one little thing. Rabid dogs are still rabid. Rabid dogs don't give a shit who they bite, and they will not be controlled. So if I was going to, like, make a movie about what's going to happen over the next couple of years, it's going to be Atlas Shrugged meets Cujo.
Amen. Amen, sweet Jesus. You know, and Carol, that's the attitude I'm taking here in West Virginia, insofar as I give, oh, what? Uh-oh, we're echoing. The West Virginia legislature will convene in late January.
Mm-hmm.
The second day after they convene, I want to hear. I am not going to stand still for hearing anything but the fact that all of a sudden there are rumblings beneath the earth because the friends of coal have started making more coal underground.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, if we could just stop that Obama and that EPA, well, we'd have a coal industry again. And I mean, these are real, live, honest to Jesus, verifiable numbers, people. There ain't no more. I mean, yeah, there's more, but it's in 6-inch seams at the tops of mountains, and you have to poison entire communities to get at it. But these dumb bastards went to the polls and voted on the premise that they were going to get more coal. and they ain't. But I want answers. The minute they convene, I want answers. I want to know when there's going to be more coal in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like one of the commercials out here. A pro-Republican, but it shows how the hardworking oil workers and we can just frack more and get more oil. And the thing is, to me, the underlying, the subtext of it was, well, you work hard, but you're not pulling down seven figures, and you're basically going to be poor, and you're probably going to have health concerns with what you're doing, but you just keep working hard, you know,
Let's expand. Oh, by the way, I need to do this. 35 minutes remaining in the program. Labor man's $150. Have a more in Monday on me and kick a right wing nut job in the nuts. Challenge remains on the table. It needs $145 more in friends because Sal jumped in there, as Sal so often does. Thank you, Sal. I love Gary's challenge. I'm going to make sure I get this right. Drive a right-wing nut job really nuts by kicking him in the nuts real hard. Bring the pain. Gary Majewski, a.k.a. Labor Man. Mm-hmm. So when you that's in line with where we have to be. And I didn't mean to jump on Larry about talking about Greens, but you know, I'm done. And I don't mean to piss off my third-party friends, but I'm done. And you can call me what names you want to. I'm done. The only hope we have is going in and fixing the broken second party. Because politically, third parties only succeed by becoming second parties. We do not have a parliamentary system. It is first past the post. And so, in line with what Carol was saying about the line in the sand, start it now. Carol's already drawn hers. Y'all draw yours, too. If you want to. I don't give anybody orders. But what I'm saying here is when they start coming out there and hollering about when we start finally, Dr. Ben Carson has now officially declared for the presidency. Oh, goody. But when the Democrats start getting nearer to announcing, we as progressive people need to say, I need to hear really progressive things coming out of your mouth or I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, Bob.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Control the primary process. Don't wait for the general election and then say, I've got to hold my nose. Drive
the bus. Does anybody in the Democratic Party even understand what it is that they're supposed to stand for? You ask 10 Democrats what they stand for, you get 16 different answers.
Avery's right.
Well, I get, okay, but if you ask the Greens, you get 112.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least they're on the same page. We have Democrats talking about, well, hey, you know, I'm for abortion today, like Mitt Romney, right? I'm against it tomorrow, but I'll be for it if it turns out that, you know, there's something in it for me. Nobody stands on any goddamn thing. Nobody stands at anything.
Yeah. I can't totally disagree with Angry at all on that. But at the California Democratic State Convention, there was a humongous anti-fracking groundswell of the delegates, and the party bosses totally ignored it. Now, I'd also like to point out the EPA was put in under Nixon because the polluting corporations of the United States of America wanted to take it away from the states, take it away from the localities, put it to the feds, so they only had to lobby 535 people to change the rules. And this is just an ongoing assault on. They want to talk about states' rights. Okay, states' rights. Up here in Humboldt County, we passed a no-grow GMO here in Humboldt County. If we hadn't passed it this year, we would have lost it on January 1st because Monsanto and that ilk got it through the state legislature that localities can no longer ban GMOs in the local area. So the right-wing buttheads are talking out of both sides of their mouth. States' rights until it infringes on them, then they take it to the larger body, which is easier to manipulate.
Uh-huh. And the thing is if you want people if you want people to care about their vote, provided that they can vote, then you have to give them, or you have to encourage some homegrown candidate that comes from their particular communities, the people that they believe in, not that the party necessarily gives them on a plate to vote for. They have to come out of that particular community, and the people that'll give people some hope and some reason to cast a vote. Otherwise, people are going to say, like somebody I was talking to, as you know, was talking about Obama a few years ago, and he said to me, you know, you may vote for Obama, but I'm not going to vote for Obama. This was in the middle of Oakland. So what I'm saying is, you know, to blame people because they're not voting, and to tell them that if they got out and voted, that we would have more Democrats in there and the society would be more progressive. What they're saying is, hey, nobody's ever given, you know, every time I've gone out there to vote and I've supported a candidate, they always tell me that they're going to do this and this and this for me, and they end up not doing it. And I have to end, and I'm still sitting here in my situation. So what I'm saying is that, you know, the Democratic Party just, they can't be some generic candidate that just sort of is a broker candidate.
Until we get campaign finance reform, you will never see.
You will never change anything.
No.
Never.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, but does that preclude trying?
Yeah.
You can try all you want. What is a homegrown candidate supposed to do when the Koch brothers come in with a couple of million dollars against
no doubt
Joe Schmo?
Yeah. And what happens to the Democratic Party if some homegrown candidate comes up there and then he or she can't get the support of the majority of the delegates?
Sure. And what are the odds of a 19-term incumbent getting his ass beaten? Okay, Republican or not Republican or Democrat, because we talk so often about how hard it is to unseat an incumbent in Congress. It ain't hard at all if the Koch brothers are behind you.
That's right.
But some of this is messaging, some of this is strategy. You're right, Carol, that they've got the keys again. The El Dorado was nice and new tires, you know, leather was all nice. And they've already vomited in the back. They've already vomited in the back seat. They've already vomited in the back seat, and they're going to run it into a tree. We know that.
Yeah, but Bob, the public here took a chance. They were supporting Hillary, and then she messed up somewhere along the line. She got caught lying. You know, Sinbad and Sheryl Crow called her out for lying about Bosnia, and then you know she did the crocodile tears thing. And people called her on her, you know, on her bull. So the money went to Barack Obama. And we've talked about this. One of the reasons why the money went to Barack Obama is they needed him. They couldn't have McCain and Palin come in. These are two loose cannons. And they couldn't go into Africa the way they're doing with another white face. Not at that time.
No, but I've got a little difference of opinion with you, Angry, on that, because I don't think in 2008 the Republicans wanted the presidency. I'm not convinced yet that they want it in 2016. Okay.
No. Well, I understand where you're coming from, but
because they only want the presidency when there is enough government that when there's enough in the treasury to make it worth them stealing.
Well, right. They're not making any money under Obama. They're making more money under Obama than they've made under anybody else.
But the thing is, they're making it on Wall Street. They're not making it in government. There's not enough in the government coffers to steal yet.
What did you just say? Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who really funded the Obama run in 2000?
And who's going to fund Hillary? Who's going to fund Hillary? Who's going to fund Hillary?
So, of course, they're going to make their money. Goldman Sachs gave him tons of money. It wasn't on nickels and dimes they got that man in. But the point is, people like me, and someone mentioned Glenn Ford earlier, we said that Obama was going to do exactly what he's doing. He's an enabler. he believes in the system so goddamn much, he came in, played this race neutral thing, which is what he was expected to do. And he put everybody to sleep. And while he was doing this, I mean, anybody who pays attention, and I sent you the links earlier, and I did yesterday as well.
Yes.
The ACA was created by the goddamn Heritage Foundation.
Sure it was.
It wasn't a Democratic plan.
No.
That's right.
The idea that you have to, you know, pay for insurance like this, add it to my goddamn taxes and let me go to the doctor.
Well, what do you do to get the people in Barbara Lee's district and in Maxine Waters' district to have a reason to believe, have some hope, and have some reason to believe or have some reason to get out there and vote?
Well, for one thing, they got to be able to vote. You know how many people out there walking around with felonies?
Yeah.
Male and female. Can't vote.
Mostly of color.
You can't vote. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that automatically wipes out entire families sometimes. You know, they can't vote. They can't vote. And you know, I mean, what, Gore Vidal used to go down there, right? Even if it was just for kicks. He used to go down there. He used to go to welfare lines when he was running. But you're not going to find too many Democrats. I mean, you know, Bubba, you know, big dog Clinton, he went to Indian country. About a month before he left, promised to free Leonard Peltier, didn't. He went down to people who are still, probably, because it's been a while since I've been in the South, but they were still sharecropping when Clinton was running. That's the last time I really got up off my ass and campaigned and voted and what have you. That was the last time. Because when I realized what Clinton was doing, I realized how we got sucked. And then you get put into a position where you have to vote Democrat again because what's the alternative?
Well, sure. And that's why I make my arguments about the primary, the primary and the primary. You want to drag anything to the left, you ain't doing it after the national convention. And secondarily, you know, just because I'm Mr. Reality Guy, and maybe this doesn't mean to others what it means to me, if you are approaching an election or a campaign or your American politics from the notion that this is an experiment in Republican government, oh, hell. Okay? Because this is an empire. And this empire is behaving in complete... I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to nerd up, but go read the history of the Byzantine Empire in Constantinople. That's what it is. It's an empire. By the way, whoever is dialing in on the Gizmo line, it's occupied right now, so that's why you're not getting through.
Well, and then in California, they went to this top two primary, so anybody can file on whatever party they want to. They run the ballot, and only the top two go to the general, which eliminated any possibility of third-party numbers here in California. And we end up with two Democrats sometimes. We end up with two Republicans. Sometimes we end up with a Democrat and a Republican. But you're never going to see peace and freedom or libertarian or American independent or anything else on the statewide general ballot, which means even the losers no longer have I got 17% of the vote. You need to ascribe to a little bit of what I campaigned for. We no longer have that in California.
Yeah, but no. You're also talking about honest politics, and you're not dealing with anything like that within the Anglophone world at this point. You know, there hasn't been any honest politics
for
decades.
Right, and let's back up and talk for a minute about California. We talked about how it's blue and stayed blue, blah, blah, blah. What happened when y'all tried to do something about GMOs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got suckered into the state legislature, and now the state legislature.
Well, no, I mean you had a ballot proposition on it, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we tried to label voted down.
Yeah, the labeling bill.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden the money showed up, and well, I mean there was that was a shot across the bow.
But see now, Mendocino County, Trinity County, and Humboldt County have banned the growing of GMOs in the counties.
Humble, huh?
Yeah, well, nobody's developed GMO weed yet, so...
somebody has, and it's not good. They tried in England. They tried synthetic. They tried a few things, and
yeah.
You know, once you take it off its natural path, it's useless as a medicine.
Oh, and at 20 minutes before the hour, let me extend a thank you to our buddy Thomas Jug of Punch. He jumped in with Sal to respond to Laborman's $150 Moran Monday kick a right wing nut job in the right wing or in the nuts and make it really hurt challenge. So there's $140 to go on that. 14 at 10. 28 at 5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sorry. I just wanted to let folks know.
Yeah, well, I hope the Democratic Party starts kicking the Republicans in the nuts.
Well, I mean, I'm doing what I can to get a little insurgency going here. I got a story here. Agnes directed my attention to it. This is disgusting, okay? This is disgusting. I know some of the parties involved. I went to law school with a woman by the name of Cynthia Evans. She's a lawyer in Charleston. She's got a historic home along Kanawha Boulevard in Charleston. It was rented by the West Virginia Democratic Party for the last couple of months of the election cycle. When she came in on the morning after the election, she found people laid out on furniture with towels on their heads, vomit on the floors, rugs and furniture, and this is straight out of the news story, and a slew of alcohol bottles scattered around the historic riverfront home, she said. They trashed the place. And understand, this was the West Virginia Democratic Party. This was not a bunch of progressives. I want to be clear about it. I mean, they vomited around the toilet. They stopped up the toilet and overflowed the toilet so badly the wood floors were ruined. Okay? This was the bunch that was running the campaign for Nick Casey, who was Joe Manchin's hand-picked boy. He's never met a toxic lobby that he didn't want to work for. I'd like to think this is not how progressives would behave, how liberals would behave. But this is how the privileged class behaves.
That sounds like a big frat party. Yeah.
Frat party?
Well, and it was, you know, drinking away your sorrows, whatever. She said, they showed absolutely no remorse, Evans said, of 10 adult workers she found recovering Wednesday morning. That's what made me the maddest and made me post on social media. Not a single worker apologized for the condition of the house. She called out one worker from Washington, D.C., and said that he admitted to vomiting all over the house and on her antique couch. And claimed the young guy said he didn't understand what the issue was.
Jeez.
Why is anybody surprised?
Well, I'm not. But by the same token, this is the gang that is run by Joe Manchin's hand-picked West Virginia Democratic chair, Larry Puccio, who proudly stated on Wednesday that it weren't his fault. It was because everybody hates that Obama.
Well, you heard what happened on C-SPAN, right?
Oh, yeah, but mention that, please.
Somebody called in the C-SPAN and made it pretty clear. Well, you know, the reason the Republicans won was, hey, they don't want that nigga Obama in. Now, I have to give credit.
And they said the word, correct?
Yeah, but he wasn't the first one. This is the first latest one. If you go on YouTube, there's plenty. But I have to give credit to C-SPAN. I mean, he did stop it, and he's like, look, you know, we're not going to use that type of language. But when it was used on Fox, they just giggled and, oh, well, we're going to have to go to the next caller.
Yeah.
You know, no repudiation, no nothing. But, see, this, again, leads into culture. Now, you have, I believe it's, actually, I'm drawing a blank right now. It's a European country. They haven't had a government for about 4 or 5 years now. They have their respective parties. They have a parliamentary system. But they've been managing to work everything out. And they said that they don't really feel the need to, you know, elect the government right now because they're doing things are working out. We're talking about people that are looking, you know, collectively, not in the Stalinist sense. You know, they're thinking about each other's welfare. And because they're doing this, they're getting along. whereas we're talking about California. We're talking about these various states, red versus blue. Look, we have somebody leading the country right now, and we can be, you know, enamored by the fact that he's somebody of color. That used to mean something in terms of political honesty at one point. But this is somebody who won the Nobel Peace Prize and is doing what? Torture might have started under Bush in terms of policy, but he's been continuing the policy.
Right. And the headline that I missed early in the program while I was having my little freak out, and I apologize for that again, by the way.
It's not a...
don't apologize for.
We have... we've sent 1,500 more American troops to Iraq.
Yeah.
That's not counting the privates.
No.
That's not counting the PMCs.
No. That's not counting the mercenaries.
Mercenaries, yeah. Really, that's what they are.
Well, yeah. I didn't want anybody thinking that we'd only sent corporals. That was my only point. But is that what? Isn't it about time we had one seriously big ass anti-war demonstration before we send the next 1,500 or 10,000 or before John McCain hollers surge? You know.
Yeah, but what happened to Occupy?
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, what happened to Occupy? Here it is, the Bureau knew that they were being threatened. They knew that the leaders, well, they couldn't really figure out who the leaders were, whoever came up with this plot. Who, what, why, .com, Russ Baker's site. They did a big story on this, and so did Fame Progress and Alternet after a while. The mainstream press didn't do anything about it. They knew that there were threats, assassination threats against the leaders of Occupy, and they didn't tell these people that they were under threat, and they never prosecuted. And there was no investigation as to who it was. When the files finally became public, everything was blacked out. So that's why there's not a big anti-war protest, because they let everybody know during Occupy, we will not allow you to do this. When was the last time books were burned in this country? It was during the Occupy protests.
But so few people served. That's another reason. We don't have a draft.
Yeah, she's got a point.
I'm sitting here with I got an 18-year-old son. Okay.
Charlie Rangel tried for how many years?
Yeah, I got an 18-year-old son, and for me to sit here and say, I think this is not working, we need a draft. One, it probably marks me out as a bit of a hypocrite, because I'm safely...
No, we need to stop fucking having wars, Bob.
Well, okay, there's that, and maybe that stops that.
No, it slows it down. It doesn't stop. It slows it down. That was the whole Vietnam syndrome. You got to scare these people. You got to have a Pearl Harbor type event, right?
Well, let me back up for a minute. Hey, Carol, all the kids who didn't vote?
Yep.
You think they'd go to the polls if they were voting on whether or not... They were going to get a lottery number.
You're right about that, Bob. This is Jim.
Getting back to the draft. The Selective Service System, even though their budget's been getting cut, virtually every Selective Service Board, and they still exist in the nation, is hurting for members of the Selective Service Board. Get in touch with Selective Service, volunteer your name, you will get appointed. I am a member of the Humboldt County Selective Service Board, and I am a flaming progressive liberal, whatever you want to call me, Democrat, blah, blah, blah. But if the draft is going to come back, in my personal opinion, and if you want to have an effect, get on the Selective Service Board.
That's damn good advice.
For the COs and all the rest of that, because there's like five members on the board, and it only takes three people to say, no, you're exempt because you object to the draft. You object to this war. You do this. You do that. I mean, they got all kinds of rules and regulations about religious exemptions and all that crap. But the fact is, if you're on the board and some kid walks in and says, I object to war, you can give them the 4F, whatever, I forget it all. I haven't gone through trainings in a while. But it's a 20-year appointment, and I've never been to a meeting. I've never been to training. Yeah, you get appointed for 20 years, and I've never been to a meeting because we don't have meetings, and I've never been to an official training. I've done my training on the internet, but get yourself appointed. Governor Schwarzenegger appointed me to the Selective Service Board.
That's a great idea.
And you know, get yourself positioned.
Oh, Carol, I think you need to be on the Selective Service Board out in Hooterville.
Oh, I think I do.
Definitely.
To be a subversive when the shit totally hits the fan.
Angry?
On the subject of, I'm sorry, I just wanted to put
a ahead,
quick thought there. If we want to ever come go back to a selective service or a draft system, if you ever want to see that again, you're going to have to roll back military contracting. And the entire reason that all those companies exist in the first place is so the Bush didn't have to raise a draft to fight his wars in the first place.
Mm.
You can buy soldiers, and you don't have to go to the voters and ask them to make sacrifices.
I totally agree and understand.
Roll that back first, and then we'll talk about, you know, drafts.
Well, if 9/11 wasn't a Pearl Harbor, I don't imagine we're ever going to have another one.
Yeah, they just keep the economy so screwed up. The only thing a lot of kids, only option they have is to join the service, so maybe they can get
what they did here.
Education if they survive.
I totally understand all those arguments. All I'm saying is that we as subversive progressives need to be positioning ourselves as best we can.
Now, that's an excellent point. That's a separate matter to me. I'm just saying. I just want to put that in there before we moved on to a different subject.
I agree. I mean, there's so much money to be made on the contract warriors that's going to be hard to bust.
It's just not. It's not the money. It's just that it makes things possible when you have more options for raising troops. I mean,
I think it's the money too. I think that's another way that we raided the Treasury. Republicans raided the Treasury. Because, you know, everybody, I think, remembers that famous panel from Gary Trudeau's Doonesbury where the grunt is standing in line and he says, "I'll have a Halliburger with cheese," and the guy behind him says, "That'll be $32." That's what we were paying Halliburton for hamburgers.
Sure, I mean, like, imagine if Smedley Butler had a chapter in War as a Racket about military contracting. It would fit right in there. It just wasn't an issue in his day, I guess.
Smedley Butler's day, everybody, that whether they fixed a tank, served food, anything else, had all been through boot camp, basic training, and we're all members of the military.
And we're all obligated under the unit.
One of the problems with PSD right now is that there are no jobs back at the base for people to get decompressed working, serving the food or cleaning up the mess hall or doing the dishes or peeling the potatoes or anything else to be able to decompress. They're out in the field. They come back, and there's no other job, so you have 2 days. Oh, you're decompressed. Go out and get shot at for another 4 days.
It feeds an entire cycle. The ramifications are endless. Yeah. When did this start anyway? Sometime after Vietnam, I guess.
I know that
Iraq put contracting on steroids, but it was already well underway though, and I'm not really.
Oh, it was well. I think it was well underway with Bush War I, but it really did get out and get its feet under it with Bush War II, because one of the things I remember though is we contracted out mail delivery, and the things they figured out early on is, wait a minute, contractors are not under a flag obligation or an oath to get the mail through. And all of a sudden you had these mail contractors going, fuck, I'm not going into Anbar to deliver the goddamn mail. What am I, crazy? I'm sorry, Horst, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one thing, though. Just the whole move to privatization, a lot of that started under Clinton and Gore. Clinton put Gore in charge of, quote-unquote, streamlining the government, and it turns out that actually was a lot of that was taking public jobs and contracting them out. Third parties, and I wonder how much in the military was already gone by the time Bush took office.
Which is simply another example of the Democrats selling us out.
Well, not as fast as the Republicans, though, and we do have to keep a little bit of perspective.
Correct,
on that.
Not as fast.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as there's still something to sit on, we have something to fight for. You know, I'm afraid what happens if 2016 rolls around and we elect President Mittens because our Democrat wasn't good enough for us. and, you know, it could happen.
God, and I it would not be Friday on the Front Porch if we did not at least have one moment of shallow. I happened to see some footage of Senator Grumpy McCranky yelling at clouds on TV, and of course, and again, this is shallow. Dude got dipped by the heel in a vat of Botox. Fucker cannot blink anymore. I mean, I remember being in theater, and there's this makeup technique called soaping, where if you've got a nice head of hair and you've got to play a bald guy, what you do is you take softened soap and you wax your hair back until you've got a nice base to receive the makeup. And there's no, and then, you know, if you have to be an old bald guy, you paint the wrinkles across your forehead and you smudge them up a little bit, you know, with some shadowing, and, you know, it looks like age out there, you know, beyond the footlights. His skin looked stretched as tight as the skin is across a goddamn boil. Agnes looked up. And I got to give her credit, because it wasn't me. It was Agnes who looks up and goes, "Oh, Senator McGrumpy's had some work." I mean, I think if that man tries to raise his eyebrows, he probably cuts off the blood supply to his testicles.
Oh, shit, that's funny.
Oh, good.
It's like
God.
A Star Trek insurrection.
I'm sorry, Sergi, what?
Yeah, Bob, you have to make a drop. Yeah, you have to make a drop out of that one. That one is priceless.
Thank you, but you know, anybody wants to, you're welcome. But he was like shiny with these shiny with these little beady eyes, and he was I forget what he was grumping about. I think somebody, we weren't killing enough of somebody somewhere.
Grump. That'll get you grumping, man.
Hey guys, we're done for the live to the rest of the internet portion of the program. I want to remind everybody that anybody who wants to join this little roundtable circus is welcome to after the Malloy program at about 12:05 Eastern, 9:05 Pacific. Send a contact request if you want to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, and you too can be part of the madness that is the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. I also want to thank Henry, who answered Gary Laborman's kick a right wing nut job in the nuts challenge in its entirety.
Yay.
So thank you, Henry. And I also want to thank Brian for jumping in alongside Sal and Thomas so that we're even started on what Henry did. And we're only $130 away from getting a good bit into next week now, which is just awesome.
That is awesome.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you. I'm sorry, Sparky, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I'm going to be in yard sale mode the next 3 hours, but I will be hosting the conversation later.
And Roger, I want you to know that I'm not a person to rest on my laurels. I sat here and applied for the Selective Service Board online.
Thank you very much.
And apparently Robert in Morgantown has gotten on board that too. I think you've started something, Roger. And we'll just wrap up real quick with a note from Jay Cruz, and subject line, fix this shit? Well, Bob, I've had enough of Dems not being Dems just like the rest of you. We're all going to have to start showing up at our local Democratic Party meetings. I'm doing it this time. It's time we all show up. And, you know, that's a great place to start, because I don't know where you are, but the County Democratic Party here is, I think the bus comes over from the nursing home and brings them to the meetings. I'm talking about the party board itself. But if
and after 12 it, years on my local central committee, I'm about ready to quit.
Opening in Humboldt. But that's a great place to start. But thanks, everybody. Thanks, one and all. Thank you, Jim, over on the Gizmo line. And we'll talk soon. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to spend the weekend trying to unfreak myself out. And, well, I'll let you know what happens Monday. I presume I will be on the air Monday. Thank you. Thank you again, one and all. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and AICACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.